let's take Bibles together and we'll look at some scripture dealing with prayer in particular today. Looking at Matthew 6, starting with verse 5. Sort of seeking you to be newspaper reporters today, investigators, kind of look for the who, what, when, where, why, how thing. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, familiar to all of you, and yet want to look at prayer from that investigative reporter side, the who, what, when, where, why, how thing. And why? Why do it? So, the who is us, obviously. When? When is a curious thing, you know, when to pray. On the lighter side of it, when we were back in college, and I think, John, you were there, and perhaps some of you remember a person named Paul Clark. Paul Clark was what I thought, just one of the most gifted instrumentalists and songwriters of our time. And he played a lot of acoustic stuff, and it was just great for me. I enjoyed his style. He came to William Penn campus, and we had the great opportunity and privilege of worshiping with him, just talking with him, praying with him. And he told part of his story in that he felt really bad for a while because he was such a poor prayer. And we thought, oh, how could that be? How could that be? He said, well, you know, he had read some of the great saints of all time, you know, read about their lives and how they would get up in the morning, sometimes 4 o'clock, sometimes 5 o'clock in the morning, and just pray. And he thought, well, if I am going to be a spiritual strength, if I'm going to be one that helps others, I need to pray like that. And so he tried that, and he tried that, and he tried that, and he'd get up, but he'd fall asleep. He'd get up, and he just couldn't handle it. And he just thought, oh, Lord, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? I want so much to be there. I want so much to be in fellowship with you. I want so much to be like these other guys. And then someone said, you know, you really should read further. And he said, what? And they said, Paul, you go to places and you have a concert that starts at 7 o'clock. Sometimes 8 o'clock, you go till 10, 11 o'clock, and then you have this, you know, kind of fellowship time afterwards. You're going to bed at midnight, 1 o'clock. Read further, these great saints were going to bed at 7 and 8 o'clock the night before. So if you want to be like them, you have to go to bed like them. So when to pray? Well, we're supposed to pray without ceasing, so all the time. But if you're going to pick a particular time, make sure you're awake. Make sure you have the capacity to stay awake. Don't beat yourself up because you can't, because you physically can't be there. So find a time. If you really want to have your special time, find a time that's very conducive to it. You know, you think about folks that are dealing with household chores and things like that, and children around. I'm going to do it at 10 o'clock. No, that's a feeding time. That's a this time. That's a that time. You know, you have to schedule it around your events. So the when is always, but it also is make sure that you are in charge of it. That when. Who, what to pray for? Well, the scripture tells us, you know, some things to pray for. And that what a beautiful thing, praying for a friend. You know, get across those bars. Some type of encouragement, some type of help, some type of support. Now, if you look at some different ways to pray, we've got the Lord's Prayer right here. Some people say make sure you do it with acts, A-C-T-S. Some of you heard of that one before? Yeah. Start with adoration. Make sure you realize who you are approaching here. You're approaching God. Make sure you adore the fact that you have the privilege to come before His very throne and speak to Him. And C is confession. To make sure that, you know, you are where you should be in your relationship. And T, thanksgiving. We're so blessed. So give thanks. And then that S is supplication. You know, supply our needs. This is what's going on. Help us. So A-C-T-S is kind of a what you can pray. How, what order is in here? When, where, wherever. Why? Why? Hopefully, I've got an illustration here that's going to help in some manner what we deal with and why we pray. Because isn't it a little frustrating in that scripture where it says your Father already knows what you're going to ask for? Well, why am I wasting my time? Those of you that have been teachers, those of you that are parents, you watch your children, you know what they need. I mean, you know. And so are you going to be there all the time just giving, 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 and, you know, being ahead of them because you're so mature and they need so much help? Or are you going to let that little baby take those steps and fall and then come and comfort? Or are you going to wait until they ask for help? Going to tell you exactly what they need because they need to express themselves. God our Father needs us to come to Him, to acknowledge who He is and that He's our source and that He'll be there for us. So tell Him anyway. Talk to Him. Be in fellowship with Him. In that position, you're going to be in a better stance to hear if you're coming to Him. So that communication could be two ways. So some why. Those of you that have dealt with lifting things, especially on the farm, and sometimes we still don't do it exactly how we should. Some of you have back problems to prove that. But something that helps in lifting is a lever, right? You probably had to use one every once in a while. Seeing guys with tractor tires, man, to lift that up, you need something to give you a little boost, a little help. So we have levers. And a little history lesson. All right. Who said, give me a lever and a place to stand, and I will move the world? What's that? There you go. Archimedes. And you think, well, what a crazy thing to say, but it's true. It's true. The power of a lever is tremendous. And I know some of you know all about this, but I'm going to go through it anyway. Then a lever, you have an object you want to lift. You have this arm, and then you have the fulcrum. What else do you guys call it? Pivot point. Anything else? That's what I'm used to most, fulcrum pivot. So, you have it. And the funny thing about lever is that I'm not exactly sure how much this weighs, but it's more than I'm comfortable holding for a long time. And so there, at this point, because the pivot or the fulcrum is so far away from the pivot to the object, that's called the resistance arm. This is the resistance. From here over to here, it's called the power. That's the power arm. So if you can see it well enough, the pivot, quite a ways away. And so my power is short. And so actually, it's probably going to take me more effort to lift that up than just, you know, walking over and picking it up. So what you have to do is get that closer, and the resistance is shorter. Resistance is smaller. Okay? So power is greater, your pivot is closer, your fulcrum, your center point closer, and so it's easier to lift up. All right. Now, hopefully it says something to you as it has to me about prayer. It says Jesus on the fulcrum, on the pivot there. And we're going to use the cross here. I think there's enough room. And we'll, now that you've kind of seen it, we'll square it a little bit. Now I'm going to have Scott come up pretty soon. And not that you're a problem, but I'm just going to say, if we have a problem in our lives, or if we have someone that we want to lift up, they would be over here. There would be resistance, wouldn't there? And so we're trying to get Christ closer. Now, this is the way it should be. Scott, why don't you come on up? Now, I want to help my brother in Christ out. I want to do something for him. So just stand beside it for a while. Okay. But because I want to help him and I want to see him lifted up, I, more often than not, I, Arlen, I will be the pivot. I will be the pivotal one to change your life. All right. Okay. So, ready? Get on that, and I'm going to lift you up. Thus endeth the Arlen pivot. And I don't know if you have been there, but I think I have. When I have white-knuckled it and thought, I can do this, I can be the center, I can make the difference, I get crushed in the process because I've got the wrong focus. I've got the wrong help. All right? Now, we'll go ahead and have you stand on it. I asked Scott if he had good balance. Now, I was going to say that for the circus thing when we do the flip. Yeah, oh, there we go. Now, again, in this sense, we've got Jesus here. And perhaps through my effort and the cross, we can lift him. But you know what?
Yes.
You know what? My strength is going to wear out.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, I'm going to get tired of doing this. I don't care how much I love you. I'm going to say, sorry, I'm done. Okay? So you want to step off, please? Prayer is to get Jesus closer. Okay? And then all of a sudden we think, ah, I can do this. I can stay here as long as you need me. All right? Okay? But eventually, I got things to do besides hold up Scott. All right? So step off again. Can you get on that? Okay. Because it'll come to the point where we're trying to do this, and the power of the cross will just take care of it. Okay? Very good. Thanks. I get the general idea. Give him a hand. But our prayer is to get Jesus closer to the person. Now that you might be Jesus on this earth, you might be the instrument at the time, but if you start thinking it's you, you're going to get crushed. Okay? So our prayer is, Jesus, get closer. Find a way through another person, through a poem, through something. I pray that you get closer to the situation, to the person, to what's going on that needs to be addressed. Now, that's kind of it in a nutshell. The trouble is that I have no formula for you. There is a formula that at some point, you know, you can tell how much, you know, difference is going to be taken up by getting the fulcrum, the pivot, closer. It's a formula. And I wish it was 260 hours takes care of alcoholism. I wish it was 70 hours takes care of lying. I wish it was, but there is no such thing. There is only obedience. There is only you and me praying and praying, waiting. Now, if God calls you to do something in that prayer process, you do it. Because again, that's on the obedience. That's on the power side. And that's, for me, some of the beauty in this illustration, you know, that, you know, it's leverage. And taking probably a little bit from Paul Simon, those of you that are of my vintage, a little change, there must be 50 ways to love your lever, you know. Explain it to your children. Okay. But you are trying to pray and pray and pray and continue to build up the power arm, and shorten the resistance. Now, can you move the process along on your own strength? You cannot. But you can continue to be obedient. This will be a thing that, you know, you need to have in your daily life. It will be a thing that needs to happen in your corporate life here as you continue to pray for the future. What are we doing? If we're praying together, we're building up power. But we're not sure what the other end is. So, isn't it right? Isn't it good to just fellowship and pray together and come together and be one? That in itself will have its own strength. That in itself will be honoring Christ. So, hopefully when you think about prayer, you can go through those things, who, what, when, where, why, and how. But always make sure the focus is Christ, and he'll be the pivotal portion of your prayer. Let it be for you. Let it be for me too. Amen.